Good morning, Ait Squatchil from the great Lummi Nation. My name is Aaron Thomas and welcome to the Heat podcast. So many of you have responded with several instant messages and emails the last few days. Thank you so much for sharing your awesome input about how you've been enjoying listening to some of my guests. And before I go any further, I want to wish my best friend, CJ Johnson, a wonderful birthday today. Happy birthday. And, you know, as we go along, friends are really hard to come by, aren't they? You only have a few. I know some of you say, well, I know you, Aaron. We're friends. Well, I have to believe that friends are the ones that actually spend time with each other. We communicate via text. We get together for coffee or an adult beverage or over food, you know, go hang out, go see a game. But ever since CJ has been in my life, it's been a wonderful opportunity. It's been a long time since I've had a best friend that's a female. And I always liked that movie, When Harry Met Sally, that talks a lot about, you know, can men and women really be best friends without having more feelings involved? And, you know, of course it can happen. I honestly didn't think it could. But over the last, I don't know, 9 months or so, going on 10, having somebody like CJ who both of us know Indian country really well, we've got networking. I think between her and I, we probably know, you know, 40 or 50% of Indian country. And so it's great to be able to say, you know, listen to things like what's happening at National Congress of American Indians or ATNI, Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians, and be able to say, yeah, I know who that person is, or yeah, I've met them, or, you know, they're good people, or and all that. You know, we've probably seen quite a bit of things happening in Indian country. So it's just great to have that kind of a person that not only knows the Indian country, but also, you know, all the trials and tribulations of things like what's happening with her cat, Striker. I reported earlier this week that we're fundraising for her medical bills. And if you're interested in that, please hit me up. I would love to be able to share with you how we're going to do a raffle. This coming Sunday, there's going to be another one for awesome prizes. The Tim Hortons coffee is really hard to get. You have to go up to Canada. You have to go find it up there. And all kinds of like Canadian chocolate bars, which people down here go, what? Who cares? You know, people up there are like, who cares up in Canada? But down here, it's like, whoa, I love Smarties. I love those candy bars, Aero. Some of us grew up listening to those commercials, by the way. So as we go along today, I just want to wish CJ Johnson a happy birthday. And today we have a great, great podcast. I've got another amazing woman that's going to be on today. And Ms. Keto Mama is a local person here in the Bellingham area. And she has done a really good job of educating so many of us about the keto lifestyle. And so I got to catch up with her recently, and I'd like to share her story during this podcast. And we'll go ahead and go to our headline news. All right, your headline news for today, February 20th, 2019. According to Indians.com, the longest-serving executive director in the history of the National Congress of American Indians is resigned after 18 years on the job. Earlier this week and last week, we were talking about some of the turmoil that's happening at the National Congress of American Indians. Jackie Pata, who was under investigation for mismanaging her staff or having alleged issues going on, especially with women in the workforce there, NCAI has resigned. The citizen of Tlingit and Haida tribes, Jackie Pata, she lasted 3 U.S. presidential administrations and saw the United States Congress go from historic changes in power. But these long-standing concerns about her management style finally caught up to her when a Me Too scandal placed a cloud over the nation's largest intertribal advocacy organization, NCAI. The scandal led to the oust of NCAI's highest ranking attorney, and to Pata's suspension on the eve of the organization's milestone 75th anniversary conference. Yet there was no hint of discord as National Congress for American Indians President Jefferson Keel announced a changing of the guard early Tuesday evening. He was quoted as saying, "During Jackie's tenure, NCAI grew substantially as an organization, forged partnerships within Indian country and among outside allies, and achieved significant successes in our advocacy with Congress, the executive branch, and in the federal courts," end quote. He went on to say, "NCAI is appreciative of the leadership Jackie has shown in her stewardship of the organization, and we wish her well in her future endeavors." So again, as they are moving into their 75th anniversary and all the things they're doing here this year, they needed to make a change, and Jackie Pata is out. In other news today, in South Sioux City, Nebraska, the Winnebago tribe has begun construction on an ambitious housing and commercial development that will transform this northeast Nebraska city, much like the tribe has modernized its own reservation just 20 miles south. The development, known as Flatwater Crossing, will include construction of 1,100 homes, ranging from apartments and townhomes to cottages and larger estate homes. The project, which is being developed on 200 acres in the northeast corner of South Sioux City, will also include retail, restaurants, and offices. Flatwater's first customers recently began moving into their newly built homes. According to the Winnebago Tribes Economic Development Corporation, Dennis Johnson, chief investment officer, says, quote, "We're really building a whole community where a cornfield existed just a few years ago," end quote. Flatwater Crossing is just one of several major projects that Ho-Chunk Incorporate is developing in Winnebago and the nearby communities of South Sioux City and Sioux City, Iowa. The corporation also began renovating two dilapidated warehouses in Sioux City just off Interstate 29 and has begun several new housing and commercial projects in Winnebago. But the company's most visible investment in the region must be Ho-Chunk Center, a 10-story office building that the firm and its partners purchased from a fertilizer company about 6 years ago. The high-rise, known for its reflective glass windows, overlooks downtown Sioux City and features the company's name and logo on its roof. So those are your headlines for today, February 20th, 2019. All right, I've got a new segment to my podcast called "What the Heck Did I Just See?" And what I'm going to do is take a look at the social media platforms I have, Twitter, Facebook, and as I scroll through my timelines, I want to be able to give you a gut reaction of what I just saw, answer any kind of meme question, meme, M-E-M-E. This is when people post a meme and it asks a question and give you my response. This meme comes from Bird Ventura. She says, she posts, "Call me crazy, but I love to see people happy and succeeding. Life is a journey, not a competition." Absolutely, Bird. I am with you. I think it's amazing when other people do things and we can celebrate that. We can live through their eyes. We can say, wow, look at what they're doing. And when one person does something, we know that other people can do the same thing. So yes, I also love to see people happy and succeeding. It is a journey, not a competition. And I don't compare myself to other people anymore. I used to do that growing up, even college classmates, I would say, well, look at this person. Look at how far they've gone. And we're from the same thing. We're from the same school. How come I'm not making as much as her or as much as him? Yeah, we got to stop comparing ourselves. And the only person that we should be comparing ourselves to is our worst self versus our best self. Our next meme comes from Melissa Masanis, cousin Melissa. Today's mood, tired as hell and not in the mood to deal with anyone's BS. Sometimes you just have to come out and say it, right? Sometimes you just have to say, I am not having it today. I think you let everybody know you're not having it today, cuz. Our next meme comes from Debbie Moroy. Share if you believe teachers' aides, who are some of the world's hardest working in schools, most important individuals, deserve a livable wage. I absolutely agree with this. How many times have I been in classrooms in my previous life? I was working at Horizon Middle School, saw so many of our teachers' aides do so much for our kiddos. My mother, Grandma Doty, has been a teacher's aide, a paraprofessional for over 30 years. Yeah, we put up a lot with a lot of crap. Let's put it that way. It's stuff where the teacher can be able to hold a student accountable. The teacher's aide has to kind of play advocate, yet kind of be the person that also tries to hold the child accountable. But yeah, they definitely need deserve a livable wage, absolutely. Our final meme comes from Jesse Deerdorf. Never thought we'd be talking about the good old days. Be good to yourself. Life, it happens so fast. Enjoy every moment. Absolutely. How many times do we work for the weekend? It's like that one song, everybody's working for the weekend. I always think that Mondays are my favorite day of the week because we get 5 days to get a bunch of stuff done before the weekend. But yeah, I think every once in a while I need this reminder to remind myself that we need to stop and smell the roses, take a look around our environment, smell the environment, look at the environment, what's happening, who's in your life. How grateful we are to have a roof over our head, to have food in our stomachs, to have heat on this cold day, have safe transportation. So yes, absolutely. Great reminder, Jesse. Thank you so much. And there's your memes for today, Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. All right, joining us here on the Heat Podcast is, I think, somebody that is very, very inspirational to a lot of people, including myself. She says that on her Facebook page, she's a wife, a mom, a friend, an entrepreneur, and at times a hot mess, living her most authentic life. Welcoming you, Miss Melissa Sturgeon, to the Heat Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing so good. Thank you.
Now, you go by Mrs. Keto.
I go by hashtag Miss Keto Mama.
Miss Keto.
I am a hot mess, like I said, and like you mentioned, and I am a mom. I feel like that's probably my primary role right now. But I also love sharing the keto knowledge.
So how did you get into the keto lifestyle, as we call it? What was it that got you motivated to do this?
So it was actually my husband who mentioned it first. He had saw some guy on, I think, YouTube, and he was talking about this keto lifestyle, and it was so much different than anything I had ever heard and what I had been trying to follow as far as the high-fat, moderate protein, low-carb. And I had always been taught that fats are terrible. So initially, I was like, no, hard no, not doing it. As the primary cook in our house, I kind of had control over things. And so I was like, if you want to do it, great. Not doing it, I don't want to die of a heart attack. So after sort of being stubborn for about 2 or 3 months, he would keep bringing it up. And I decided, okay, I'm always telling people they need to do their research before making any decision on really anything in their life. So I decided I was going to look into it more rather than just kind of having that snap decision. And so I started looking up medical journals and like looking up different like medical resources and stuff online. And I joined a few groups. Some of them were really awesome and supportive. Some of them were a little bit judgmental and harsh, which is typical of the social media world, I think. But as I started like researching it on my own, I realized that it was actually really brilliant. And there's tons of science behind how our body works. I found that you're actually born as a baby in a mild kinogenic state. And honestly, that's what put me over the edge. And I decided, okay, let's give it a shot. Because if you're like my creator made me and I'm born in ketosis, like maybe it's my native state. Maybe that's where I need to get my body back. I had been carrying a lot of extra weight for about 10 years from my kids, and just never able to get myself back feeling the energy that I had wanted. And that I experienced when I was a little bit more fit and healthy. And it's changed my life. I'm so glad I did it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you're very, very open and honest on your videos. And I think for me, when I was getting into the keto lifestyle, I was looking for someone that I could really like just look at and say, I understand what this person is saying. I understand what they're trying to do. But the one thing that I was going to ask you prior to you kind of getting into the edge, as you called it, you know, going from your old lifestyle to your new lifestyle, you know, is that stubbornness kicks in, right? People tell you do this, do that. I'm the same way, but I wanted to ask you what is it that you feel kind of, you know, what was eating at you before that? Like, I know you said you wanted to make sure that you did your research, but can you talk a little bit about maybe your old lifestyle and how that used to be?
Of course, yeah. So I had been following an eating program that was very similar to the autoimmune protocol, and it was very restrictive because I knew that I wanted things that were, you know, quote unquote healthy. So that included a lot of complex carbs, which I refer to as healthy carbs, things like instead of white rice, brown rice, instead of white bread, wheat bread, things like that. And thinking that that was like the healthy choice. I was trying really hard to do all organic because I hadn't done a lot of research on organic in general. Yes, of course it's great, but it's not necessary all the time. Like you can pick and choose certain foods. Also, I was worried about fat because, like I said, in general, the food pyramid, if you look at the American Health American Health Associates food pyramid, it's kind of needs to be flipped upside down. I was thinking fat was terrible and you had to really moderate that. The healthy carbs and the grains were good for you. And like I said, I was just kind of worried about the amount of fat that I was intaking because everybody says low fat is the way to go. I was worried about moderate protein. That was something that I was like, I thought protein was, you know, the most important. I thought that's what was going to keep me healthy and strong. I thought that that was a really good source of things, lean proteins, which they're great. But it's not the most important thing. I guess I just kind of had a skewed vision of that food pyramid and what was healthy and what wasn't.
Well, the other thing too that I'm really, again, you and me are a lot alike in the fact that I'm very open and transparent with my lifestyle and my life and things that I put out on my Facebook page. People, you know, instant message me and say, I'm thankful you said that because I'm living that same life and I didn't know how to say it, but you know how to say it. And, you know, you were just in Arizona just a few days ago and you came up, you really did a really good job on this one post. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You really just describe your childhood. You describe, you know, some of the things that happened to you as a teenager. How does emotions play in our eating lifestyle?
So actually, I think that the emotions and the way we fuel our body go hand in hand, in a lot of ways and for a lot of people. Yeah, like you said, I am very open. So I've experienced, I come from a broken home. I come from an experience of a lot of chaos. There was drugs, there was alcohol, there was domestic violence, there was all kinds of craziness in my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I found that I was lucky as far as in my younger years, like I could eat whatever I wanted and as much as I wanted, and it didn't really affect me. And then as I got older, that is kind of what I turned to, food, right? Mm-hmm. Comfort foods. And when I think of comfort foods, a lot of people turn to like sugary and sweets. I was actually a savory, carbs, like potatoes, breads, pastas, those more dense carb-loaded foods. But when I was bored, when I was sad, if I was feeling really emotional or upset or triggered, like I typically would turn to, what am I going to do with myself? I'm going to go open the fridge. I'm going to go look something for something to eat. And so I think that emotions play a lot into it. I also learned, I was in Arizona this weekend, and I was at actually a keto conference, and it was tons of awesome information, but there was also some like mindset speakers. And one of the things they were talking about, I think I kind of lost my train of thought, but one of the things that they were talking about, was like, we have a choice, I guess. Oh, addiction. That's where I was going with that.
Okay.
Food can be an addiction. A lot of people don't realize that it can be an addiction, and it can be basically a coping mechanism. And so I feel like I did go through some postpartum after I had kids, which didn't help with the whole body image issues or the energy. Mm-hmm. But I turned to food, and it was always those carb heavy things. So
yeah. And one of the things that you write is that you felt like your children did not deserve you, that they deserve better than you. And that, you know, that plays in that whole body image, that whole, I'm worthless, you know, things that happened to me in my past. And I'm really thankful to see that you're not letting your past drive your future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that sometimes I think people think it sounds insensitive, but I think that the way that your life looks is 100% your responsibility. I understand trauma. I've been there. I understand hardship. I've been there. I grew up in a trailer park. It wasn't fun. It wasn't glamorous. I grew up with chaos. But at some point, I'm big, big, big into personal development. And at some point, I realized, even in the depths of my massive depression, like after I had my kids and I went through this postpartum depression, I went untreated for about 4.5 years, and it was dark. I didn't feel like my kids deserved a mom like me. I had put so much pressure on myself prior to kids, like, I'm going to be a better mom. I'm going to be the best mom. My kids are going to have a great life. And here I was battling this terrible depression, but I almost had too much pride, I guess, or too much ego. And so I didn't want to seek help. Even when my husband and my mom were trying to like help me and encourage me to get help, I would get really defensive. And I felt like it wasn't really like they didn't deserve me. And so I'm big into personal development. I decided that if I didn't like what my life looked like, I was responsible for that. I needed to do something to fix it. And so the same goes for the way I was feeling about myself. If I didn't feel good about the way that my body looked, or the way I had no energy, or the way I could barely sleep at night, I needed to do something to change it. And it turned out that even though I thought I was eating so healthy and I had tried many different things, it was just I hadn't found the lifestyle that and the fuel for my body that worked for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, then we fast forward. And so you're going through this like 8-9 year period of kind of the same, I call it a vicious cycle, because that's what I was doing to myself. And all of a sudden you look at your body, and you're going, dang, I posted this a couple of weeks ago or about a month ago that I couldn't even go into a regular store to get a button up shirt because they said I had to go to a big and tall store for the first time in my entire life. And so you get to this point where you say enough's freaking enough, right? and the stubbornness, you just go, okay, I'm just gonna go for it. I feel like I deserve better. My kids deserve better. In your case, my husband deserves better. So I'm gonna do this on my own, and you go for it. And you know, when you first started or throughout the first part of this journey, did you fail at all?
I did. You know, I think any big lifestyle change, you have to go into it knowing that it's going to be a little bit of trial and error at the beginning and give yourself some grace. I cheated like one too many times a day at the beginning because it was such a drastic change. I really had to go into it thinking, okay, everything I know about food, I got to throw that out and I've got to learn. I've got to look at this. And so it was a learning curve for sure. The first probably 2 weeks, like Pinterest was my friend. Like I was on there every single thing that I needed to make for food. I was Pinteresting it. I was looking for a recipe that I could just tweak a little bit from what I normally was eating. So spaghetti and meatballs, great. I can eat spaghetti and meatballs. But instead of making the noodles, I would just, you know, chop up some zucchini. I am a lazy ketoer, and I'm very open about that. So I don't even bother getting the spiraler out to spiral my zucchini. I just chop it up, saute it a little bit in some butter, and call it good. But I think that the trick is to not overcomplicate it at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I posted a couple days ago is the power of vision, and how much when sometimes your power of your vision overwhelms us so much that, you know, you can't think about anything else, you know. Mm-hmm. And I, even in our old life before the keto lifestyle, I'm pretty sure that at some point that the sugar, the carbs were the most powerful things in our brain. That we were like, you know, really wanting that next soda, when you really wanted that next ice cream, or that's not, you know, gonna help us, right?
100%, yeah.
And so, you know, now that, I don't know how it is for you, but like for me in this new lifestyle I'm in, you know, and of course I've seen the dramatic weight loss. I'm, you know, feeling much better. All the things that you're saying happened to you. You know, for me, I'm just looking at, you know, being able to be older and being active. And you know, I'm in my 40s. You know, you're lucky. What are you, in your 20s, 30s?
I'm 32, yeah.
32, yeah. So you look like you're in your mid-20s, by the way. So.
Well, thank you.
And so, you know, that power of vision is so, so important when you're talking about overcoming those challenges, overcoming those days where you know you messed up, you know that you couldn't not, you know, the willpower wasn't there to be able to say, I am so in love with this new vision of myself that I'm going to just, and I'm not going to like get rid of the things in my life, but I'm going to just focus on things that I know will help me.
Yes, that's phenomenal. I love that. You mentioned that sugar, and we want to reach for that next soda or that next, you know, ice cream or that next treat. And it's so true. You know, I'm sure it's pretty common knowledge now, but that sugar and that addiction is real. It's legitimate. You're not losing your mind when you cut sugar out and you feel physically sick. You're not crazy if you have massive headaches because you are going through withdrawals. It does stimulate the same receptors in your brain as cocaine. And so it's no lie, it's no joke, it is science. It's gonna be hard, but like you said, you have to keep that vision. Why am I starting this? Why do I want to have a better, you know, life? Why do I want to try this keto lifestyle? Because you want more energy, because you wanna be able to keep up with your kids, because you want to live a full life. Like, you're not made and created to just go through the motions and pay bills and die. Like, you're so much more valuable than that. So you just have to, you're right, you have to keep that vision in your mind of what it's going to look like a month from now, or 6 months from now, or a year from now, and so on.
So I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about, I know that you've got some products that you are, you know, offering to folks. Can you describe a few of them for us?
Yeah, sure. I have a group that's full of tons of info, but essentially it's a product line that is completely keto friendly. It actually works to put you in ketosis. You just mix up this drink You shake it in a shaker bottle with some water. If you're feeling really frisky, you can add some ice. But you shake it up and it does put you into nutritional ketosis. You can test your blood and it will show up that you are in nutritional ketosis in about 57 minutes. At this conference, we actually are releasing new technology, and they've got a new drink coming out that's already prepared in a can. It's a sparkling, it's almost like a, I don't want to say energy drink supplement because it's nothing like an energy drink, but it comes in a can, it's carbonated, and it tastes phenomenal. And it's the first free cell ketone technology, which means it doesn't have to bind to a salt. Right now, every ketone available on the marketplace is not created equal, but it is binded to a salt compound. It's beta hydroxybutyrate. Ours are different in that it's the only product that is at a therapeutic dosage. It actually started because NASA needed a product, and actually NASA and the Navy needed a product that they could give to their astronauts and their SEALs that would put them into ketosis, because it's been found to be such a better fuel source for your body long term, and when they're out in the field and they're up in space and all of these things. And it tasted awful back then. And so even though the research was there and the development was there, it kind of didn't take off because it was not palatable at all. And so our company bought the patent for it. It's patent pending, and worked with a few other doctors, Dr. Ryan Lowry and Dr. Jake, which we call him Dr. Jake. And now I'm drawing a blank on his name, but they took it over and are developing it, have made it to come in a bunch of different flavors. It's a supplement that works whether you're following the keto diet or not. If you are strict keto, that's fantastic. If you can limit yourself to less than 20 carbs, good on you. But if you're someone that needs a little help along the way, it gives me a little more flexibility with my carbs. I typically limit them to about 30 to 35 a day still, because I do want full benefits. But it's just something that for people that need that help or want a deeper ketosis or just want a better, it's there. And it's been life-changing.
Wonderful. All of that sounds good. Do you exercise at all, or is that something that you don't do because of the carb?
It's funny you say that. I used to, prior to this lifestyle change, I used to work out all the time. I didn't get the results that I wanted. I did lose about 10, 15 pounds total. I got down to 156 at one point with my weight, and which was about a 19 pound loss from my highest. However, it wasn't sustainable for me, because there are those people out there that love the gym, and I am just not one of them. So I have not actually worked out in about 9 months until last week. I started working out because I realized I'm 1 pound from my goal, but I do want to increase my strength, especially my core strength. I have bad posture, and I figure I got to start at some point, and I want to set a good example for my kids. I don't want them to be lazy like me. So I started working out about a week and a half ago.
Okay. And what is it that you're doing? Is it just cardio, or are you lifting?
Cardio is a card and no from me, like always. I know why. It's beneficial. It's good for your heart. It's good for stamina. I am doing cardio now. I'm doing a dance cardio because I love to dance my face off. I've got no rhythm, but I'm doing dance cardio. But for me, priority number one is weightlifting and resistance training. So I'm not that strong right now. I am building my strength up. So right now I'm mostly doing body weight exercises, things like planks, push-ups, pull-ups, things like that, squats, all of those things. But I am really big into lift heavy, low repetition. So maybe like 3 sets of 5 at your max weight.
Okay.
And then slowly titrating down. So for me, weightlifting is more effective. I get faster results. And in instant gratification America, that works really well for me.
I see. Yeah. Now I'm kind of getting to that mode now. I mean, I'm 40 days into not, what it's not called. It's not called aggressive keto, but
into strict keto.
Strict keto. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I've done really, really well in terms of, you know, removing things that didn't serve me. And I can see the difference big time, but I'm not to the point. I gave up my gym membership at Anytime Fitness, which a lot of my folks that follow me were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You did what? Because I was posting like, you know, 3 times a week I was at the gym and, you know, these are the gains I had and et cetera. But I just feel like this has been probably the best way for me to reduce the really bad weight that I had on me. And then also to increase the energy. But now I'm getting back. I think now that I'm 40, 41 days in, that I'm probably going to go into. Do you have any advice for anybody that's going to kind of transitioning from strict keto into exercising?
Yeah. So I would say I know you're practicing intermittent fasting at least.
Yes.
And you can try it the first time to see how you feel and go to the gym fasted. You might need to take a step back and eat a little small something before you go to the gym at first. But a lot of people have really good success and quicker results if you go to the gym fasted. You're in your deepest ketosis before you break your fast, and that energy and that clean fuel gives a really, really good effective workout. Ketones, whether you produce them yourself in your blood or you are drinking them, are a really, really helpful tool for your cells and for your muscle preservation. And so you're going to get less, I guess, achiness. You'll still feel sore. You'll still feel that nice burn when you're lifting heavy, but your recovery time will be a lot less. And so it would be a great idea if you can do a fasted workout.
And then what about any kind of kits? What do you recommend for, like, you know, checking to see if you're in ketosis? They got the ones for the breath and the urine one and the blood one. What do you think is the best one?
So here is what I say on that. So the breath ones, I don't have a ton of experience or knowledge on them. I'll admit that. The urine ones, they're cheaper. So if you want to use them, great. Here's the thing though. They're not very accurate to test the level of ketones in your system. So if the ketones show up on the urine strip, perfect. You're in ketosis. We don't know how deep of a ketosis, but you are in at least a mild ketosis. If they don't show up on the strip, you still might be in a mild ketosis. You just aren't spilling enough over into your urine, because what is coming out there is just the ketones that your body wasn't able to use. So they're not super reliable. I don't love them. I did start out that way because I'm cheap. So I did start out that way just to see once I got into ketosis. But I do prefer the blood tests for those. They're the most accurate.
Okay, that's good. I have not done that before. I did a really bad job of, or I should say, I could have improved on how I, you know, started out with my weight and then, you know, documenting the number, how much pounds that was released. Notice how I don't say we don't lose weight because I don't want to find it, but I released the weight, so I don't ever want to find it again. And then I have not checked my ketones throughout this process. So that's something that I'd like to continue or start doing now, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing to see. I don't put a ton of emphasis on it. Mostly I will use it to test my blood every once in a while. Just in my line of work, people are skeptical by nature, which I was one of those people. So I love a good skeptic. So every once in a great while, I'll test my blood to show, yes, I'm in a mild ketosis because I do follow a lazy keto diet. And then I'll drink my drink, and an hour or in 10 minutes or so later, I'll test my blood to show the increase in ketones in my blood. But I don't follow it too often. I don't put a ton of emphasis on the levels just because I feel in my like own personal relationship with food and diets and all that. I try not to obsess over any specific numbers. I just like to know if I'm in ketosis or I'm not, because right. I know that some people are awesome and they love to chart that, and they have a really good, strong mind. I feel like with my struggle in the past with like different mental health issues, I've never had an eating disorder, but I could see where I could obsess over that. So I love it for people it is a great tool, but I don't track it too often myself.
What about sugar tests, blood sugar like tests?
Blood sugar tests?
Yeah.
You could do that. I recommend it for sure. If you are pre-diabetic or if you've had a diabetic, you know, warning from your doctor in the past, definitely keep your eye on it, especially there at the beginning. Mostly because your being in ketosis in general and ketones in your body will increase your insulin sensitivity. And so you may actually end up having to adjust that with that dosage with your doctor, because your blood sugars will naturally lower.
Ah, wonderful. Well, yeah. I really want to thank you for coming on. I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you, and especially your products and the things that you have that you stand by. How can people get a hold of you on Facebook, on Twitter? How do you want people to get to know you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook, Melissa Sturgeon. I have a cute picture of my three boys on the cover photo. Send me a friend request, send me a message, hit the follow button, whatever you want to do there. I like to go live and share my journey. And then you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is just Miss Keto Mama. So MS, like my initials, Keto Mama, MOMMA.
Awesome. And I know from experience, I have tagged Ms. Keto with some of my Facebook friends, and they have definitely asked Melissa lots of questions, and she's done a good job of helping them and inspiring them too. So I really stand by you and in your journey, and I honor you for all the wonderful things that you've become and that you're becoming, and to know that you are not a victim, that you're taking your life into your own hands with Creator, and just I just honor you, my friend, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me on. I love that you've been so supportive and uplifting. I feel like in a world where there can sometimes be so much negativity and hurt, people like you are so necessary, spreading the love, spreading the positivity, and supporting one another.
All right, that'll do it here on the Heat Podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today. Thank you so much, Ms. Keto Mama, for that great, great interview. And you've educated us so much. And please follow her and do what you can to try to understand just a different way of life, a new lifestyle. The keto lifestyle has been amazing for me. I will be back sometime this week. I'm not too sure it'll be tomorrow. It might be, it might not be. That's the cool thing about these podcasts. I don't have any kind of set schedule. If I see things, I say things. And wherever you're at, please be careful. Please make sure that you stay warm. Remember, you're unique. You are the only person in this entire world who is you. And we'd love to have you around. So continue to be amazing. Continue to strive for your best life. And if you have children, please hug them just a little bit tighter tonight, okay? God bless you guys. Take care.